I would like to say, just before we start, that I do believe you lied.
Okay.
About not knowing who I was before I
I mean, here's the thing. I haven't seen your show.
Which one?
I couldn't tell you. I'm so sorry.
Which of the
really
shows
bad.
Have you not seen of mine?
I couldn't tell you because I...
Do you want my coffee with my hair in it?
I wouldn't mind something like that. I've definitely sipped worse coffee.
Not in Italy.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen any of your shows. And when I received the, you know, communication...
Why did you respond to my DM at all? Because you weren't following me. Which is your loss.
God, why... Like, what was it that... I mean...
You check your DMs once a day, once a week?
I actually check my DMs pretty often because I'm, more often than not, I'm getting people reaching out to me from the Innocence community or like, for instance, next week I'm going to be taking part of this death row like panel thing where like, I don't know if you knew this, but like Trump is accelerating a lot of federal executions right now. He's like before he leaves office, he's trying to like get a bunch of people executed because he doesn't think the next administration is going to follow through. And anyway, I'm going to be taking the only reason I'm taking part in this panel and is because people reached out to me and said, hey, we're trying to get the word out about this guy is about to be executed. He did a horrible crime, but he was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And like we're trying to. You know, even if he spends the rest of his life in prison, like, let's try to save his life.
What's the difference between prison and jail?
So jail is where you go pre-conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's where you're held while people are trying to figure out what the hell to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're convicted, you are convicted to either maximum security prison, minimum security prison. There are a vast array of different kinds of prisons that you can be sent to. And prison is where you go to stay and serve your sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then in Italy, it's different because, I mean, I don't even actually know if they have a difference between jail and prison. They probably do for men, but for women, just because women are not the people who are usually going to prison, we're a much smaller portion of the population. We're basically being sent to the extra facilities that were originally meant for men, and they're just not equipped for us. And
was yours, was all women?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, so my portion of the prison. So, like, the whole prison complex had a facility for men, but it was on the other side of, like, this big open field. And what would happen is, like, women would sort of develop relationships with men across that bridge by, like, waving towels through the bar windows and, like,
I've
lighting.
I've thrown the towel many a time.
They would, like, communicate with lighters.
Whoa.
They would literally be, like, doing, like, a Morse code with lighters.
Cool.
Yeah. Just to, like, have
a
connection.
I always fantasize about dating a guy in prison because you know where he is and he can't cheat on you.
That's a whole thing.
That's for when I'm on your podcast. So it's obviously impossible to know where to start, especially with my brain. But like, if you were me, what would you want my first question to be? Because like, you go in interviews and like you've just had to answer. So I don't want to ask you anything you've already been asked.
I appreciate that. No, I appreciate that because that's something that I, as an interviewer, also try to do. Whenever I talk to someone, I try to go and see whatever interviews they've already done.
Yeah.
And like, see what have they been asked a million times. I'm going to veer very far away from
actual
that.
Actual journalism?
Right. I mean, the thing that like people never ask me about is, or even like don't really ask me seriously about, they'll be like, what are you doing today? But it's like, I'm actually doing a lot of stuff today.
What are you doing now? Yeah. Copy.
But yeah, just like all of the work that I'm doing with my husband, Chris, and,
who is here. My nemesis.
Hello.
I'm a lot of the work that I do is super informed by everything that I went through, but it's this ongoing battle of trying to not only like make the best of a bad situation and just like take what I've learned and like put it to a good cause, but also to like just be my own person in a world that wants me to be something I'm not.
Can we talk about your process of getting deciding what to wear on camera?
Well,
I saw you in the documentary that someone was like, That was Amanda's documentary, the one where you're in the pink shirt, boat neck shirt.
Yes.
And they were like, that was Amanda's like side of the story. Like, I don't know how that happened, but someone's like, that was like her documentary. And I was like, oh, cool. She like made her own to set the record straight. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, oh, wow. But it's so, it felt very fair.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely like, it was embarrassing in many ways for me.
Because, I mean, my like, biggest problem with it is you didn't get paid.
Well, as they say in the industry, like they can't claim journalistic integrity if they're paying the people that say like they
but
want
not paying women for their work is.
Well, they didn't pay anyone. So
except
to be fair,
the...
did they pay the journalist, Nick Pisa? I didn't. I understood that no one was paid.
I will stop the podcast right now to go find out.
They didn't. I don't think they paid anyone who was on camera.
But everyone right. I know saw it.
So, no, like, the way that it was approached to me and, like, I completely understood was for the sake of it not being an Amanda Knox
documentary. I'm so sorry. I just want to talk about your shirt.
Oh, my shirt. Oh, okay. Shirt.
Because
yes.
I looked at you and I was like, she's not wearing makeup. She's not. She's wearing a pink shirt. She can't wear anything but this.
Yeah. So the decision of what to wear on camera, interestingly, is something you have to have anxiety about. But also at the same time, it was like a last minute thing. Like literally my best friend was like bringing me to the weird cold warehouse where they had that like gorgeous backdrop that's like actually 25 feet.
Oh, where you shot it? Where you shot it?
Where it was shot. Yeah. Yeah. It was like in a warehouse.
They got a location fee.
And I don't know, I must have been wearing like something with a collar or something. And they were like, we just need to keep it simple. We need to like have people be just looking at your face and not being distracted.
I remember being like, is she wearing a strapless bra? Is this a bandeau situation? Like, it's just, that's always my first, second, and third.
But like,
remember
yeah.
clear bra straps?
God, was that like...
No, you were in prison.
Yeah, is that a thing?
it was like a bra strap where you'd have like a clear little piece of tape, which it's clear is not clear. If you had seen my last special, you would know I did a whole joke about clear bra straps. But you're not a fan and I...
Sorry.
It makes me like you more.
Sorry.
We made sure to watch a special before we came.
But you saw which one? You know you did. I don't know.
I saw the one with the sex doll.
No.
Her.
We watched about 10 minutes of clips.
Oh.
Yeah. And then you had enough.
Well, then we were like, she's kind of funny.
I have lots of regrets about that. Speaking of regrets, how was Italy? That's what, by the
yeah.
way, Cecily Strong is one of my best friends. She's on SNL, and she's there's so many people that are fascinated with you. And I have this theory I'm working on that you are a lot of the people that were in their 30s when this rigmarole happened to you. Grew up on Amanda Chase from My So-Called Life, Lisa Loeb, Stay, which I sang to you while making eye contact mm-hmm. with you last night. Who else did I show you last night? Allison Williams, Allison Brie.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school with her. That the girl everyone wanted, the Enigma. The enigmatic, gorgeous. I know. I don't. I mean, it's. I'm not happy about it. The projection machine. And I remember when this was all happening, I was like at, like, trying to get agents or I thought going to parties would get you jobs or something. And so I would go to these like parties, like when I was like 22 in Hollywood, trying to like get someone to cast me. I didn't know how it worked. I'm like, can I blow someone for a job? Like, I didn't know how to do it. And I heard people talking about you, and it was a bunch of guys just being like, she's legit gorgeous. And just being like...
Talking about you.
You.
Me. Mm-hmm. I thought that when you were telling me about this, I thought we were talking about you.
You continue to have a conversation with me. This is the first time I've thought you're weird.
Also, she wasn't gorgeous back then.
No, I wasn't. Like, so this is the thing
she
that, like, always,
okay.
like...
You know?
This
she's
is
gorgeous
thing.
Now.
Okay, well,
love you for the right answer, but you're...
But she's way hotter right now than she was 10 years ago.
You're canceled.
Okay, but at the time, like, this is also the bizarre thing to me. Like, okay, people made a big deal about, like, Foxy Noxy, and, like, she's the girl that everyone wants, and it's like,
if your name didn't rhyme with Foxy, would this be as big of a story?
No. And so, again, like, at the time, that was not... me. Like, I was not walking around the world being like, oh, I'm the prettiest girl in the room. Like, that never occurred to me. And also, I was never treated that way.
You're the prettiest, but also the most enigmatic and, like...
But also, that's weird to me.
Your eyebrows are a problem. sorry, I'm texting a couple neuroscientists asking them why our brains love a rhyme. Foxy Noxy, why is that clickbait? Why do the tabloids love that? You know, and did it rhyme in Italian?
So in Italian, they would translate Foxy Noxy into Volpe Cattiva, which means evil fox. And so like it always translate, like the translation sort of twisted into like the Volpe Furba, the cunning, you know, the cunning fox. So the girl who's like a master manipulator. I was not an enigmatic person. I think, I mean, we've spent a few days together and it's like, I'm a very open book all the time. I'm alive. But I'm also like, I'm just kind of here and I've always just been kind of here. And when I was in Perugia, like I was very openly, like just wearing boy clothes all the time, and
you look like
teaching.
The boy from Stranger Things.
Well, and then like doing yoga and playing guitar, and like there was nothing. I was like,
everyone was like, she didn't react the way I wanted her to.
Right.
The beautiful girl didn't grieve the way I wanted her to grieve, even
exactly.
though I know nothing about the situation.
And yes, and this was also filtered primarily through the Italian media first and foremost, mm-hmm. which was women are hysterical. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
Owned by Silvio Berlusconi at the time?
Yes.
Run by Silvio Berlusconi
100%.
At the time. Plug by accident.
Bunga Bunga.
I hosted the Bunga Bunga. I just happened to, this is such an interesting confluence, and I feel so like lucky that the universe is EPing the show. Like that learning about how the television airwaves are owned by the same person that runs the government.
And how women are portrayed in particular by that particular person.
And it's a business. News is a business.
News is a business. Fake news was a big thing. Like, I'm surprised that more people haven't made the connection between Berlusconi and Trump because they're echoes of each other.
They're not only friends, but Putin kind of wrote the playbook, but then Berlusconi kind of wrote the playbook for Trump.
And like Putin does it in a different way. Like mm-hmm. Berlusconi,
on a horse, sure.
Yeah, like exactly. But
Which,
like
that's my favorite part.
But he's also like used to be Secret Service, and like he's mm-hmm. you know a military guy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Berlusconi and Trump are both entertainers.
Yeah.
They are entertainers.
Berlusconi was a singer, and we forget that Trump was the biggest television star in America at the time. The Apprentice was the biggest show on TV. We forget it. He didn't show up to the debates, remember? And they moved the debates or something for him. He just knows how to... I have a whole... I know we got in a whole thing about this the other night, Chris, that I think he misspells his tweets on purpose. I think everything's like so calculated. Like
he reads at an eighth grade level.
Mm-hmm. But I also think he reads Robert Greene. I also think he reads.
Do you think he reads, though?
Why do I have Amanda Knox on the podcast and we're talking about Donald Trump? This is why he's.
Disinvitation.
This is why. We're fucking talking about him. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Shame on us.
Yeah, we don't
except
even need
you.
To.
You've had enough shame, I think, in your life.
Thanks. Well, I don't know. I mean,
do you have braces?
I've never had braces. I've also never had uneven boobs. I was actually afraid to bring that up. I know. But
I can attest to that. She was afraid.
What if you're on it?
Me?
What if you're on a little bit of a peglet? Like,
but here's the thing. Even at the time in Perugia, I've always had a butt that didn't fit my body, and like my butt crack would be like coming out of my
pants.
You've
got the Natasha Leggero, Esther Pavitsky, there are, what's your German?
German. Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's why you should
the
have
birthing
just,
hips.
You should have just said that. I wanted you to go like, I have German ancestry. I don't know what to tell you. We can see horrible things and like do cartwheels.
No, truly. I mean, even just like talking to my Oma about like her.
What's Oma is grandma?
Grandma. Yeah. My Oma, like her mom had a bomb drop on her, and then her own mother or her own grandmother who took care of her afterward tried to drown her in a bathtub. Like my Oma talks about like these tragic things that happened in her life, like. Oh, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, like, whatever. And then, like, for me, I get deer in headlights syndrome where, like, mm-hmm. something, like, I've never had anything bad happen to me until the bad thing happened mm-hmm. to me. And I was like, I could not process. And so I just sort of did what
you,
I
by the
normally,
way, you don't even know what you did.
Well, indeed. And you indeed, it depends on who says what I did, what, because, like, who remembers what I did, who thinks they saw what I did. People didn't see me cry, or they did see me cry. They forgot if they saw me cry. They thought it was suspicious if they saw me cry. Like, mm-hmm. I honestly think that a ton of confirmation bias goes into mm-hmm. all of this because people just, again...
You become a Rorschach test.
Exactly.
And I also, I'm so impressed that we haven't said... We've talked about these together. We haven't really done that yet.
Which one?
Said, like, and we've already talked about this.
Okay.
You know that? Remember when I was like,
let's not refer to how much
we're rehashing?
How we've had slumber parties.
when my dog, Frank, who I think you know, is my world.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mona.
she's right there. When she can hear you.
When he went cut to 3 tendons and 3 arteries and there was just blood. When you see blood, did you see blood?
No.
Whoa. Did people know that?
People don't know that.
Did you know that?
No.
Emily?
I did not know that.
Did you know that, Chris?
So there was like...
Dave?
So I, like, whoa! I saw... Like, whoa! Here's what I saw. In my bathroom, there were like 3...
You saw shit.
There were 3 spots of blood in the sink. 3 spots of blood. And then, like, there was shit in the other bathroom.
It's in the documentary, yeah.
And so, like, I... And then there was
shit
like a...
Shit is weirdly... more disturbing in an odd way.
And actually there was like a dark splotch which of something that turned out to be blood on the bath mat. But again, it wasn't like your dog. I saw that video where there's like fucking blood everywhere and it's like horrifying.
I showed Amanda a video of my dog bleeding, which I put on my Instagram stories for all you guys, because I will stop at nothing to get attention. opposite of you. And she started crying, I mean, at 8 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, no. I've
seen Amanda Knox cry. Frank made her cry. So, and yeah. I my instinct was to video it. How fucked up is that?
So here's
would
a
that
really...
have been wrong, Chris? Would that have been exploitative?
Well, did you get her consent?
I would have done it, and then I would have said, "Can I put this in the podcast?"
So it's like post factum consent.
Yeah, I what I do is I just cool. take footage in B-roll in case.
Sure. So here's the fucked up thing.
I like to have options, as you may have noticed.
I didn't see a thing about, like, I didn't see Meredith's body. I didn't see into her room where mm-hmm. the whole, like, blood everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. I never saw any of that. And then in prison, like, after I'd been there a while, my lawyer comes in and he's like, hey, I just need to, like, walk you through a little bit of, like, the autopsy photos so you can, like, point me out. Like, not the autopsy photos, like, the crime scene photos so you can tell me, like, if you've seen this before or this before. And so I was like, okay. And so he's, like, flipping through these photos. Mm. And then, like, one photo is just, like, Meredith. And I lost it because mm-hmm. I had not seen her yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I hadn't seen her with her wound, and I lost it. And, like, I was in hysterics. And my lawyer was like, oh, my God. And then I, like, they had to take me out. And then the warden was like, what is wrong with you? Like, and I was like, they showed me her body. And she was like, you've seen her body before. And I was like, no, I haven't. I have not seen that. I mm-hmm. did not know. Mm-hmm. And, like, anyway, like, it's just, like, the things that people assumed mm-hmm. about how my reaction should be based mm-hmm. upon what they thought I knew. Anyway.
I'm so sorry to make you have to talk about it.
I mean...
Sorry I brought you here to talk about it.
I mean, no, I'm really happy that you brought me here.
I just want you to be done with this.
Well,
I'm done. I'm bored with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, I just think you have so... There's so many more interesting things about you, but I feel like in some way you've been, like... chosen to reveal something.
You're not the first person who said that to me before.
Now I'm unoriginal. Well, I have changed a business model that was changed by Joe Rogan first.
He's
but
just
my
telling
hair
you what he
blue.
Wants to hear. He knows that you love it.
He's like,
when he met me, he gave me back rubs.
I always wanted a brother that would just fucking beat the fuck out of me.
Yeah, he met me and he gave me back rubs and recited poetry to me. He met you and he was like...
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't feel like a girl around you. I don't feel like people treat me with kid gloves, which it was so interesting. Our interaction. So I DM'd you and I was like, come on. It was like a Hail Mary. I just was like, because on this podcast, I cannot pretend to be interested in people. I just, sure. I truly can't. I don't have people on that I'm going to just be like, hey, so that was weird. Like it's like Tourette's or something. And I felt a little, did you feel wary of me?
No.
Because I felt like you were like, I DM'd you and you're like, here's my email. And I was like, great. Here's the chain. And then we were on email and then I was like, can I ask her for her number to text? Like we were all very, and now that I know you, I think that's just your demeanor. You're just have boundaries and your secure attachment strategy style.
Well, it's actually literally because I'm terrible at answering my phone. And so I'm afraid of giving people my phone number because, okay, so here's the one sort of like me being terrified of the world is like, I actually don't like answering my phone. I don't like it when people call me and I don't recognize the number because
yeah, no one does.
Because I've literally been put on the spot by like tabloid journalists who've somehow found my number and they call me and they're like, can you like, I want a statement right now about this like thing. And I'm like, feels very invasive. Whereas it's like, I know that like, if I receive an email from you, mm-hmm. I can like absorb the fact that you're even talking to me and mm-hmm. then I can respond.
Who's the closest person to your situation in terms of walk down the street and everyone is like half sympathy, half awe, half...
You never know.
You never know. Right. I was talking to my friend Nikki on the way over, and I was asking her. She's my smartest friend from college. I said, who's like clickbait tantamount to Amanda Knox? Like, who's the... and I was like, is it Monica Lewinsky? Is that the closest person in terms of...
I think so.
She said, what about Anna Nicole? That's interesting. Who's Mary Kay Letourneau?
Mary Kay Letourneau is that the woman who had sex with her student?
Yeah, the problem
that's
with all
not
these,
true. They're guilty. Those
the problem with all
guilty.
These allegories is they all did something.
They're guilty.
And like take Lorena Bobbitt for instance.
There's no.
She's an interesting case because the domestic violence she suffered was erased, and the penis chopping was the only thing anyone talked about.
Of course. Right.
But that event doesn't make sense without the context of like. Years of abuse.
That's every man's greatest fear.
Right?
So to me...
But she still did something.
Yes.
Amanda did nothing. So like the parallel breaks.
Concur. To right. me, Amanda... The most interesting part of this is like you're... If you had watched my whole special and not just clips, you
like,
Seattle hipsters, crafty lady. I think that it's like... And I don't mean to get into men versus women. I think it's women and women too. I think a lot of people's worst fear is we all know women's power. I'm not going to say psychic because that's clairvoyant, intuitive, whatever, ability to manipulate. That's why there's no female magicians because it's not funny, right? It's like when a guy does
it's
it,
scary.
We're like, wow. And when a woman does it, we're like, oh, like I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, hi, Chris.
You're not supposed to trick me. You're supposed to be in service of me.
I already am Anne Boleyn. You already have a power. You already know something I don't know, and you're making me paranoid, and I can't handle it.
Hmm.
Your inner power. I don't know what you're thinking. I can't read your mind, but you can read mine.
Hmm.
And I think there's a little of that with you.
I could see that because I do feel like I tend to enter into a room and immediately get a read on even just like not including me, but like hierarchies in the room. And mm-hmm. I'm always drawn to the person who I feel like doesn't have as much hierarchy, which usually
underdog,
but or literally dogs.
By the way, this
or
is
like
also
literally
how,
children.
This is enough. If you give me permission, I will show. This is dogs are know everything. And I really want you to meet my horse and to video it.
Yay.
Because who the dog goes to, if a dog goes to you, you're clear. You're good. No joke. I've had guys come over and the dog's like, absolutely not. And my dog, Mona, who is my little psychic witch, I mean, killed some blood vessels in your legs?
Yes. I could not. Like, I had the like, oh, okay, here's my leg coming back to life. I'm a zombie.
My dogs are, this was like a pig pile pyramid on top of you.
But I'm just like willing to be a dog with a dog. Like, the minute I saw her, I was like, oh, this dog wants to, like, be chased around the yard.
They don't know who you are.
Also.
They don't care.
Kids and dogs have no idea, and it's really nice because it just means that I can sort of, like, I am good at recognizing other people's emotions. I like to be mm-hmm. a listener, even like, even just a physical listener. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been listening, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been listening a lot to you over the past 2 days.
That's unfortunate.
But no, not in a bad way, but because, like, I see that you have a lot to give, and so, like, I want to be a receptacle for you. And that's, like, something that I think that a lot of women do, is, like, we are paying attention to what people need. Mm-hmm. And so then we try to like fill that space and be the space that people need. Mm-hmm. And
we're designed to sort of, I mean, it's, I think your husband, Dave, like these are, you know, I think we're evolving towards something that's more harmonious and kind of copacetic with men and women. But we're kind of designed to be the women work together like an octopus mm-hmm. in the kitchen and with the kids, and everyone's breastfeeding everybody else's mm-hmm. babies, and everyone's the aunts and the sisters.
And that's why we have that intuitive power, because we're constantly communicating with each other.
We're all one organism.
Yep.
And this sort of next generation of super evolved men are starting to kind of lean into their quote unquote feminine qualities, and it's starting to feel a little.
Well, this is why I love my relationship with Chris, because like with him, I have found an ability to assert myself mm-hmm. that I've never had in a relationship sure. before.
Guys, look, hey, it's our first remote ad.
Isn't that fun?
It's so fun. I'm having so much fun right now.
Isn't it very on trend with the you know?
You have to listen to this if you're listening on audio, because you can see Benton's apartment.
You can see part of my kitchen.
He's also way shinier than me. Could it be because of the Daily Harvest you're consuming?
I mean, I am consuming a lot of it. Let me just tell you, I have my favorites right on here.
Literally holding up boxes of Daily Harvest.
Look at this! Isn't that fun?
Wow. Let's see if I have any.
I love these things. They have so many new things too. Like I've never had the oats before. I've never had like the oatmeal.
Oh, that my favorite of those bites. What are they? The little like protein bites.
Yeah, I love the little bites too. And then this is like
also love the in the winter times. Look at my gross finger. Oh, look! Aren't you guys glad I'm doing this remotely? You can see my mangled finger. I'm holding it up to the camera.
Flatbreads. Did you know that?
No.
I cook them right here in my little toaster oven that you can see if you're watching and not if you're listening.
But there's also, no, my favorite is the chocolate mocha smoothie with kale in it. But there's also something I had when I was sick over the holiday. It was like an ice cream.
Yeah.
It was like a sorbet. I can't even explain what it was like.
It's like ice cream, but it's almost like soft serve ice cream.
No, it was so good.
So
it was soft right away. You know how sometimes you have to wait? Oh, drives me nuts.
And so, they're all healthy. That's the cool thing about Daily Harvest, is everything is like healthy, good for you, organic vegetables. They come right to your door. They literally come in.
This is a good New Year's resolution, because can I tell you something? Actually, look at him holding up his box. That's so cute.
This is what they sent to my door. It's insulated. It stayed cool all day till I got home. And it was just filled with treats. Worth it.
You talking about wine in the background?
Huh? That's Amanda Cerny's one.
Oh, it is.
All of it.
That's really funny.
I like to support people.
Yeah, you do. So, you guys, I'm just telling you, everyone's busy, I understand, but Daily Harvest, like, I cannot tell you how big of a deal is to just go, like, I have no time to eat lunch. I'm going to eat this bowl of stuff, and I know all of it
breakfast.
Is good.
My
everything in is good. I don't have to look at the label. I don't have to feel guilty about it. I don't have to feel shame. And then I don't have to do math later. Like, okay, I had a little bit of vitamin C. Nah. And then for dinner, I don't know what to eat because I ate crappy all day. Like, it's just like, it's just such a staple. It's just like a game changer, I feel like.
Let me just tell you, I wake up, I have my latte, I have my oatmeal, I have a flatbread for lunch, and there's no dishes. And that's what I'm really into.
We got to be using these remotes to have you cooking these products and proving it.
I will. I'll blend this up. It'll be loud, but I'll do it.
Remotely with Benton at home using the product, and I'm in the studio.
I literally am obsessed with these foods. They're delicious. And, and the cool thing is there's like, they don't use like preservatives or added sugars or anything, so I don't bloat. That's really nice. You can get started today. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code GOODFORYOU to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code GOODFORYOU for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. Dailyharvest.com.
Nailed it. Benton, what would you say is my sort of like favorite hobby?
Friendship.
What would you say? Where would you say I spend most of my time?
Definitely in bed, waiting on your golden ticket.
I'm literally like the grandpa on the Charlie.
And you pop right out when it's time to perform.
Here's the thing. I used to get so much shit for how hard it is to sleep on certain mattresses, and everyone would call me Princess in the Pea, and you're so sensitive, and you're so this. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't want to injure myself.
Hey, mattresses are important. My dad always said people, hardworking people need two things, a good dinner and a good mattress.
You spend a third of your life on that. It now in COVID times, who knows? We're fucking in bed all day at this point. Am I allowed to curse? I'm so angry that this product hasn't always been around. You basically get, because I'll try a Tempur-Pedic and I'm like, it's too Tempur-Pedic. Then I'll try. It's like, there's just no, I'm an in-betweener.
They match this to you. You take a 2-minute quiz. You tell them how you sleep, your body type, what you prefer, and then they match the mattress to your preferences.
Sleeps in sideways on certain mattresses, guys. Telling you. I went to a doctor and he's like, the most damage you're doing to your body is in your sleep. And I was like, I don't know what to do with that. And
Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine.
Love it. Save yourself injuries in the long run. Healer. It's a healer. The Healing Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders. That's awesome. And two free pillows for our listeners at Helix Sleep Pillows. I don't have their pillows.
Yeah, they're good pillows too.
HelixSleep.com/Whitney.
Did you date people after you came back from prison?
You're dated.
Just like on Hinge.
So I didn't like.
That is.
Go on Bumble. Oh, see,
yeah,
she's.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know what Hinge. I thought that was like a hip way of saying, like, are you in a relationship? Okay, no. I've never joined a dating app.
Never on Tinder.
I was afraid of meeting new people. I didn't trust new people. Yeah. I mean, it was like, and I was being asserted that I couldn't trust new people. So, like, I would go to. Math class. And I went back to school.
College?
Yeah, I went back to college and I was taking a remedial math class.
In Seattle?
In Seattle, yeah. I went to the University of Washington. And like I go to math class and like people are taking pictures of me at math class and posting them to like
their... Like secretly?
Yeah, secretly. And then posting them to like their snowboarding buddies, like, you know, private like social group thing, not realizing that like Google alerts are a thing. And so here I am like receiving a Google alert, or my stepdad receiving a Google alert and being like, dude, there's a guy in your class who's talking about peeing in your butt and seducing you, like, so that he can get pictures of you. And like, and I know that that's a real thing. So
such a bummer.
I just like, what ended up happening was I went back to what I knew and where I felt safe. And like, the first person I dated when I came back was someone I had dated before in college. And I stayed in my own little bubble.
Interesting.
What am I looking at?
I'm sorry. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
You know my brain.
There's just a lot of like windows.
You don't know the habit. So I have a list, like a list.
Yes.
Of things, that I don't want to not, bring up. Okay. So your podcast is called Labyrinths.
Yes.
the fact that it wasn't about the movie Labyrinth was a little like, we're working on that one.
We're working on that. I need to like get, so it can't just be about a thing.
No, I am the blue worm from Labyrinth. That's like.
I should interview you.
Concur, but in person only.
Okay.
Only in person.
Yeah.
I was very publicly shamed. I don't know if you know this, but my life has been very hard.
I want to hear about that.
Mine is more, she's had work done. She's skinny. She lies about her age. She's not funny. I mean, female comedians are the most loathed people on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, the most hated women. They do a very masculine job. And a woman talking for an hour with a microphone.
You're like the female magician. Like, you're just trying to do what
and
you're not allowed
to do. Allowed to fuck us or kill us or stop us. And if someone...
Well, you're doing a kind of magician thing, too, where you're like, I'm reading your mind so that I can make you laugh.
It's a little bit of a mass hypnosis, and it's a little bit of a blue balls. Like, we're kind of falling in love, because you're falling in love. We're all falling in love for an hour. I'm trying to make you fall in love with me for an hour.
Yeah. And then you walk away.
But I only, so this leads me to, what is the difference between women, is there any difference between women and men's reaction to you? Do men, you go in the grocery store.
I go into the grocery store. More often than not, it's women who approach me to say, like, I know you and I cared about your case or whatever. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, it's more often men who are saying, I think you have something important to say.
Yeah, she gets a lot of the, I had a daughter and I saw her and you, you know, from the women. But the people who reach out obsessively online, for instance, are usually men.
Yeah.
The stalkers are men.
Yeah.
Well, that's normal.
And they stalk other people, too. Yeah, like everyone gets stalked. I know. And Chris and I, just so you guys know, we have a very, like, I come off dismissive about it, you know, because he's living in this, you know, Chinese finger trap of, but yeah, I was just curious. And do people, when you, well, I thank God, I'm sorry, this is fucked up to say, but there's a little bit of a, I think for, I don't think you're notorious. I don't think you're infamous, but just for known people with the masks now, there's a little bit of like, oh, I get to wear a mask and just like walk into a store and I don't have to worry about people hating me.
They still recognize
me. They still recognize me with
the mask.
Because
it's your fucking eyebrows.
I think it might be my eyebrows.
Did you, I need to find out like who did the study of that. Because your eyes are also incredibly deep set.
Right.
And like,
it's like good luck doing eye makeup with
like
this.
Lucy Punch, who I cast in The Female Brain. Can we pull up Lucy Punch? They say that, I can do it right here. They say that we evolved to have our eyes sunken into our head to take a punch.
Oh,
so well, that's why our eyes
can I take
an
emotional punch to the face?
Which is so fascinating to me with you because your eyes are so deep set.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that like here people are, friends of mine are doing makeup and I just can't do it because it just becomes a crease.
Like hers are so deep set.
Oh yeah, totally.
And they're so gorgeous. We did this movie and it was like the lighting.
Yeah.
It's not the same when you're with her. You know, it was like you see her and then you see her in the lighting and you're like, oh, I need to. I'm just so interested in how our faces evolved or our bodies and faces and brains evolved to manage the violence and, you
know. Don't forget sweat. You know, the brow ridge and the deep set eyes is also just to keep sweat and shit out of your eyes.
Will you marry me? Don't forget sweat.
Totally.
German, violent, working, stoic.
Yep. Just get the good.
Did
get
you
through
do
it.
Yoga? Were you a gymnast?
So yes, I was a very
That'd
regular.
Be so, if
practitioner.
You didn't do gymnasts,
I mean, I can go outside and do a runoff back handspring for you right now. If
you
want.
Weren't, and you haven't seen cheer,
I haven't seen cheer.
But so if you weren't a gymnast, I think it might be weirder to me.
Sure. I mean, I appreciate that I was the only person who was there doing that and doing stretches, but like this is where I was regularly doing yoga like every day. So like to be trapped in a police office where I have to sit in this chair all day and like be called and ask the same questions and like I just have a different relationship with my body because I know what my muscles are doing.
You know when you're somewhere public and there's a guy who's like imaginary golfing?
I don't think I've ever seen that. Have you ever seen that? He's the golfer. When we go to the golf course, I like jog and then he golfs.
But like when you see, you never see someone who's like just a guy who's just like does a baseball.
That's sketchy as fuck.
That would be weird.
I'd question that guy.
So, Emily, you know when you're in a grocery store or something and you see a guy do an imaginary golf swing?
Yeah.
And they even move their feet. This is real. This is a real thing. I mean, it's just like we have our little default. Because I always wanted to do a sketch about this where a guy, you know, guys will do like imaginary basketball.
Yes.
And that he misses. Why would you miss in your own...
Like, he's trying to be realistic.
Why would you?
Or like maybe he felt that he did it wrong, so he has to like acknowledge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, why did you miss? You could have picked anything. It's like I was working on this joke, and I don't think it's going to work about how every woman who lives alone has to pretend there's an imaginary man in their house when a worker comes over. And you're kind of like, and the man that you pick says so much about.
Who's your imaginary man?
My imaginary
You've got
man,
a lot of workers in the house.
My imaginary man, like when I, because I got burgled at an apartment.
Here?
My life has been hard.
That's scary.
No. Years and years ago. Okay. When you were in prison, I was getting burgled.
Okay. Well.
And it was it was stressful.
That's how I ended up in prison anyway. Like someone burgled my house.
And then, we're going to talk about that. And then the child. Okay. I have to write stuff down to remind me. My wild brain. So what was it?
We're talking about burglaries?
Burgled.
You were burgled.
Uh-huh.
And you were telling me about how you were burgled.
And?
And your imaginary man.
So
yes.
When the man comes, like a construction worker comes over, whatever, plumber, whatever, and they're like, okay, so I'm here to do the plumbing. I don't know how they talk. And can you send that to Lorne Michaels, that impression I just did, for my audition for SNL? Here to do the plumbing. and I'm like, hey, like, he's upstairs. My boyfriend's upstairs. He's sleeping. It's always like he's sleeping. It's just he's a little hungover. He just drinks a lot. It's like, you know, he's just got some, like, I could have been like, he's on with Tokyo. He runs a bank.
He's upstairs lifting weights.
Why did I?
Sharpening his.
I'm like, he's just, his wife hates it when he doesn't come home. You know, so it's just like a funny.
I have not lived alone.
Ever.
I have not. I guess I lived briefly alone when I came home. But even then, like, I had, like, my boyfriend who was there. I don't love to live alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't, you know, I like people and I feel safer.
I want to talk to you about how you make people instantly funny and your self-deprecating humor and, like, what we do about it. Like, you know, it's sort of like a little bit.
The fact that people don't have to be self-deprecating around me because they can just be Amanda deprecating.
and
they're allowed
it and
to.
I feel ooky and a little bit of me dies inside every time I do it. And because I have such a like think brain I do think I deserve an award for all the ones I didn't make around the knives.
Sure.
I've made how many knives jokes have I made around you so far? Of like, Amanda, can you touch the knife or don't
touch
the knife?
Or like, I'm like, where's the knife so I can cut the tomatoes?
To this
and you're
morning,
like, yeah.
She's cutting tomatoes and I'm like, you're like, where's the chef's knife?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's just the one that instead of a paring knife to like slice tomatoes, it's good for slicing. Anyway, we're making you shakshuka for breakfast. And I'm like, hey, where's the chef's knife? And you're like, you have all the people to not know.
I've done it, I think, like three times, I would say. And I think I've not said it maybe like.
But here's the thing. Like you, that,
but every
that's
time
a funny
I almost
joke,
hurt myself. I know it's a funny joke, but it's a little bit of me dies. And I wonder if a little bit of you die. Like, or does a little bit of you heal?
It's not that funny of a joke, though.
Well, so here. So there are jokes that are at my expense that are just like, you know, easy, not funny jokes that are at my expense. And then there are jokes like when I first came home, my family like had this cake and we all were having cake and they're like, Amanda, cut the cake. And I was like, you sure about
that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, those are funny jokes.
No, it was, can I tell you, the ones that were funny once, but I think if we did it again, I wouldn't like it.
Mm.
I wouldn't like it. I would just be like, ooh, no, no, ow, ow.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do this. Like,
right.
you don't have to be Amanda Knox all the time. Is when I don't know. I almost hit my head on something, or I was like, oh, just don't hit your head on this thing. I don't want to, you know. And you're like, yeah, don't die when I'm in the house or something.
Yeah, and that's like a joke, but also a little serious.
Yeah, you're like, please don't die if I'm near you. I think we were out here.
No, we were at the other place,
yeah.
The rental place,
yeah.
Because they have those like fake beams.
Yeah, and you were like, please don't die.
Yeah, no one's allowed to get hurt or die around me,
mm-hmm.
because I'll get blamed, which is why I'm a really cool person to have around, because you could commit a massacre and mm-hmm. everyone would assume it was
Yeah, me. Yeah, yeah. I actually think it's kind of the opposite. They're like, what are the chances that would happen twice?
People like have reached out to him or my best friends
yeah, yeah.
to say, you need to get away from her. She's going to kill you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And like, I mean, I guess the one thing that like makes me sad is like with the knife jokes thing is it's like and the orgy jokes thing is it's
right,
like
right.
Not only have I never killed anyone, I've never stabbed anyone,
such a funny thing to say.
And I've never been in an orgy. So like all these like jokes are once again about like the idea of me that was like totally fake and made up. And like, so it doesn't even feel like the jokes about me, because again, it's just like everything about me is not about me.
It's
that's why that 30 Rock joke that
was so good.
So good.
Yes.
What was it?
So they were like, Kristen Schaal was talking about being famous. And she
you
was
know
like,
Kristen Schaal, but not me.
No, I don't know Kristen Schaal. She has made a joke about me on 30
but
Rock.
I love her.
I love Kristen Schaal.
I love her. She's so good.
When people
and
confuse me with her, I get so excited because I'm like, oh, you think I'm funny?
The best joke ever that I like just loved was she was talking about being famous and she was like, are you kidding me? It's so easy to become famous. Amanda Knox got famous for not killing someone.
Excellent.
Great. Like, that's amazing. And it's like, yes, thank you. It's sucks to be famous for not doing something.
No, it's like I told you this. I'm like, it just feels like you're still in jail, just like a different kind of jail, you know?
Mm-hmm. And granted, I'll take this jail.
Yeah, 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 yes, of course. And then it's interesting because, you know, your husband and I have had a couple, is it row or row? Row?
Not even.
Row.
You've just had like
row.
Some
is a row like a little like scuffle?
Like a row.
A row.
But not even. You
not
guys
even,
have
no,
just
like
had like
healthy,
fun conversations.
Like
the kind of conversations we should be allowed to have, but everyone's afraid to have because everyone wants to assert their identity through the things that they say, and they're never willing to entertain an alternative idea.
And in where I come from, that's just called an interesting conversation. And I
yes.
would love to get in a conversation with your husband, Chris, with coming in with one thing and come out and being wrong and go, oh my God.
Yes.
Just learned that I know, you know what words I'm not hearing anymore? I just realized
mm-hmm.
and I just changed my, I never.
You're not allowed to.
I never thought about it that way before. When's the last time you heard someone say, I just realized something?
Yep. No, you're a bad person
wrong.
If you've never thought about something before.
Old specials. Okay, so, and then you made me laugh really hard. This felt like it was worth it when you, I said something because my personality, like the confluence of the quarantine and my mom got COVID and everyone's in isolation and we're all at peak
wild fever and yeah.
Fear and we don't.
Uncertainty in the future.
One day the
yeah.
sun kills it. The other day the sun doesn't kill
yeah.
it. One day the masks are good and the next day you're taking them from the workers.
Yes.
And the next day you're.
Yep.
Your blood type is the problem. And, you know,
yep.
So we're just in this terror management nightmare. And I said something where I was like, but I've really leaned, I think during this time I've leaned into what, like kind of honoring the way my brain works, which is very, how would you describe it?
I mean, you are constantly entertaining a lot of, your brain is your screen right here, which is like a ton of windows open with a lot of scattered thoughts that all definitely have connections.
58,922 unread emails.
Exactly. But like you have a through line, and like sometimes it's hard for the rest of the world to like stay on top of it. Like we do have to do a little extra work to be
mm-hmm.
like, okay, what horse are we jumping on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're kind of galloping on like
horse
seven different horses that are totally happy about being ridden at the same
time. And they're rescued.
So it's like, okay.
Yes. So, and like, and you're so, and so it's like two things can be true at once and da da.
Yes.
So I said something like, I'm so sorry. Sorry, I'm being crazy.
Oh.
I said to you, I was like, sorry, I'm being so nuts.
And then I was like, I've been trapped in rooms and lived with women who have killed their own children. So I can handle you, Whitney. We are cool.
So do you have like a therapist?
My therapist is my journal and him. And my cats.
And the podcast.
And the podcast, honestly. Like,
Yeah. But it's the Labyrinth. So your podcast is, which I do kind of want it to be video.
I know. We just don't have the technology.
Yeah.
Like, this is a beautiful setup, and I actually want to take notes from you, like, what
you're using. You can come down here once a month and shoot 5 episodes.
And also make a list of me for me of all the things that I need.
Yes.
Because
I also want Amanda to and Chris to decorate the studio, because they are...
On it.
They are...
I need to take measurements.
So fucking... amazing with crafts. It's wild.
And we're not even the best people at crafts that we know.
Well, that's why you're the best, because you think like that. That's my favorite type of person.
Well,
so
learning process.
But I want, I listened, I don't want to get in trouble with some of the guests that I listened to, but I was listening to it and it's just, you're so unbelievably, God, it's like what I just don't want to insult anybody. I don't want to take any like unnecessary jabs, but it's just so fascinating the way you guys talk. You're so incredibly, is it erudite or erudite? Erudite. Erudite.
I'm just going to let you flounder.
I always get it wrong.
Erudite?
Erudite?
Are you trying to say that you're
so
learned, or
no,
what are you trying to say?
You're just so well-spoken, so incisive. It's for me, I have to be laughing or learning. Something.
Are you thinking eloquent?
No, it's just
okay.
Fucking
erudite.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just learning something. I'm just like, fuck. But like, my favorite thing is having my mind blown.
Okay, cool.
And your podcast is a mind-blowing podcast.
Well, thank you, because I'm constantly trying.
Again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was so happy that you like it.
I'll kill you. And it makes me realize how many I'll kill you jokes I make.
Right? And I'm not allowed to make that joke.
Like, is it exhausting to just constantly have to monitor your, don't kill me, I'm going to kill you, I have a knife. Like, is it constantly running or not? Do you ever get a respite?
I mean, I am aware that certain people are going to be weirdly sensitive to anything that I say because simply because it's coming from me.
Yeah.
I just don't know who those people are.
Sure, of course.
Because like I said, I'm walking through the world where there's this like screen in front of me and some people see through it and other people don't.
Yeah,
and so like everything I could possibly say is perpetually tainted by people who want to compare what I went through to what Meredith went through. And like, anyway.
And they just want a hit of the self-righteous indignation.
Yes, I get a lot of that.
I think, and you touched on it in the documentary you didn't get paid for your time, where you said, like, people need a villain. They love, you said people love monsters. We love villains.
Well, they don't want to be the monster themselves.
And there's a very, Andrew Huberman, I think, spoke about it on the podcast of, like, how... our brain releases dopamine when someone else is being castigated and we're judging them because we have protection from the tribe and we get dopamine from
them. And this is like a mind-blowing concept that like these are the kinds of things that I think tell us about who we are and why things happen to us. Mm-hmm. And like the why for me is the thing that always has bothered me about what happened to me and what happens to other people. Like, why were people putting like dicks on all of your billboards? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really interesting question because it's either people suck, and which is a boring answer.
Also,
or,
if I was 15, I'd do it and it would be funny.
Exactly. And again, like, is the 15-year-old is going to have a reason for doing it that a 35-year-old
is not
going
to have?
And by the way, it
makes me an underdog. Thank you. Took me 10 years to figure out.
That's why we're such good friends.
Yeah.
I am irate. Thinking about the students in college right now who aren't going to college, who still have to pay.
Yeah, I'm irate about people who went to college and then don't get to use their degree because there's no jobs and they're still having to pay.
The job they went to school for no longer exists.
Well, it's just, how are we going to get a job in a pandemic? So it's like, Ernest is helping you out. Times are tough, and who wants to worry about
Ernest? Let's say what Ernest. It's not some guy. It's not Ernest the guy. This is a company that literally is like your dad if he was an accountant. Everyone's dream. Like he just like Ernest comes in.
Yeah, it's the company who's not some guy, but they're like a guy.
Yes, you.
Ernest basically offers you low rate student loan refinancing.
All the best characteristics of a man and a woman in one company: compassionate yet good at math. Cares about you, but can do percentages and interest rates.
I mean, that is a great, I mean, there you go. That's the best way to describe it. They're going to help you refinance your loans, reduce your loans long term, save money with just simple monthly payments.
They're just, you know that most of these people are doing this because they can get away with it.
Loans?
Yeah.
Student loans are evil. But 19 year old should be taking out $150,000. You know what you do with that?
Not knowing. They bank on us not fucking knowing what we're signing up and what we're reading.
You have to survive. You're like, well, that will get me through this semester. I'll buy my food. I'll have time for, you know, get little treats and go out. And then you don't think that when you're, you know, 24 and you don't have no money for that.
And there's inflation. Now what? You loaned me $100, but now I have to pay you back $200? That doesn't make any sense.
And the interest? I could pay every day and only pay off $6.
Did you see me just try to do math? To make math
points? We saw it. Ernest is now offering our listeners a $100 cash bonus.
I got bored. I skipped.
Refinance your student debt at ernest.com/Whitney. Terms and conditions apply. Now Ernest is giving our listeners a $100 bonus. Refinance your student loans at ernest.com/Whitney. Terms and conditions apply. Once again, you get a $100 cash bonus with a visit to ernest.com/Whitney to refinance your student loans. Not available in all states. Terms and conditions apply. Visit ernest.com/Whitney for more details. Terms and conditions apply. Ernest Student Loans Refinancing made by Ernest Operations LLC, NMLS number 1204917, California Finance. License number 6054788303 Second Street Suite 401 North San Francisco, California 94107. Visit ernest.com/license for a full list of licenses. Okay, the next one is a big question. You ever can get boners?
Woo! We got a Roman ad?
Roman.
We got an erectile dysfunction solver ad. Wait. You don't understand how big of a deal this is, Benton.
I mean, look,
Roman, I am obsessed with your company and I'm about to say a lot of things about you and sell a lot of your products. But the fact that you think I have seen dicks that aren't hard is shocking.
A little offensive, first of all.
They're around me. They're hard. So... But I'm happy to.
They're trying to use them as a shiv.
Use my imagination to say that I'm sure it's a very big bummer when you walk out in your fancy lingerie you just bought and nothing. You get a thumb. You know, I get that that's upsetting to some women. I don't know what that's like. But if there's a way to avoid that kind of embarrassment, I'd say do it. Because you could end up 38 and single because you're too afraid to be naked in front of a man. I don't wish.
But what Roman is they're going to help you with erectile dysfunction easily.
You're going to get that Joe Rogan dick, okay? That's what Roman gets you hard and you fucking handle shit. Real healthcare professional prescribes you a real medication. Free online evaluation. Ongoing care, comfort, privacy.
Could you imagine if when you call in, this is what the person sounds like? Real comfort, care.
Boners. it's the one thing we have right now is sex. It's like the only thing that is like a fun.
Even if you're single, you still want to have a little boner, you know?
Yeah.
just a little boner in the evening.
Just a little bone bone.
A little breakfast boner. You don't know. You can take your Roman whenever you want to.
That's true. But I feel like if you have erectile dysfunction on your own, you'll just wait for it to come around. You can't. But
you don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't have to blame yourself. Roman, you go online.
Don't blame yourself. By the way, all guys out there, if you don't get a boner, we think it's our fault. And then we start crying. And you don't know why. So get this.
Yeah, and if I don't get a boner, it's because there's no mirrors around.
Go to roman.com/Whitney today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/Whitney. Getroman.com/Whitney. And then once you get your prescription, call me.
So I like to get my mind blown by trying to understand how complicated human beings are. And so I'm just perpetually trying to go down those avenues to understand them, which means that I have to sit uncomfortably all the time with the fact that, like, there are people doing bad things thinking they're doing good things. And there are people who are doing bad things and they just don't care. And there's a reason they don't care.
Wrong things for the right reason.
Exactly. And doing the right things for the wrong reason.
That's me. So there's this performance artist, and I'm not going to say her name right, who stands on butter.
Mm-hmm. We had to watch the whole thing. Like, the thing is, I think too many people just watch a clip of it, mm-hmm. and they don't experience the whole thing. Like, you need, I feel like you have
to
see what happens.
Can you explain what it is?
So a woman who
is... I showed this to you, by the way. Had you seen it?
No, I had not seen it. You definitely showed it to me.
She's like trying to, I want the credit. And Amanda's like,
yes.
What do you want?
Oh yes. Credit? You have all the credit. Woman of color, slightly bigger build, is wearing a sort of tight, very, you know,
we'll be showing
like sort of short black dress, wearing these kind of chunky heels. And she's doing a very plain stage, and she's just on some chunks of butter. And she is
like 15 chunks of big wide
blocks
butter.
Of butter. And she is digging in her heels into this
dancing
butter
slowly.
As she's like dancing. And it's a seductive dance. Like, she's kind of, I mean, it's not like
making
openly,
eye contact with the audience.
Eye contact and like painful, like vulnerable, but almost like broken, sort of like, I'm trying, like, I need you to see how hard I'm trying to, like, be this person that I'm, like, I'm trying to be this person, the
sure.
seductive person. I don't know. Like, for me, it was expressing a lot of, like, deep anger, but also, like...
I think she's challenging the audience to
laugh at her?
Laugh at her and pity her.
And feel their own shame and feel her shame.
And if she was not corpulent or of a bigger build, mm-hmm. or not the traditional standard of beauty, mm-hmm. would this be funny?
I don't think so, because I think a part of the comedy is her body. Like the fact that she's literally flopping.
You start laughing when she falls.
Yes.
And if this was... Charlize
yeah.
Theron.
And it looks like it hurts. Like, it looks painful.
If this was Nicole Kidman, we would be very upset. Because is it because we believe that the fat is protecting her from being injured, or we just think it's funny?
Or we're just exposed to the... We're almost numbed to the idea that, like, fat bodies are, you know... pained and like are, you know, flopping and like falling on banana peels. Like, it's just funny. So
we'll have
if
to
we
stop
see
and when you hear the audio, it goes from to laughter, then
yep.
back to
yep.
and then people start
ugh.
Leaving. And
yeah.
Like, it's, but you would stay the whole time.
I would feel the need to be a witness, because I'm not going to just know that she's in pain in that room,
mm-hmm.
and she's sharing that pain with other people, and I just decided it was, like, not for me.
Yeah, and what did you... Because I believe that a big part of your situation... is we just want to watch you. people just want to look at you. I mean, we are driven by our reptilian brains, and there is something about your face. They say asymmetrical faces are just the golden rule of wanting to look at someone.
Well, and also, like, especially during the trial, we're talking about how...
I would cast you in a TV show and make so much money. You walk...
Please do.
Yeah!
please.
I'm out of the business.
Okay, but whatever.
I quit. I do shows in my home with my friends. I'll
be on your show.
With my dog. But I'm saying, if you walk into a room, a casting director, the CW, Jen Houston.
Well, not me. If someone with my body would walk in.
Or just in your face, and you walk in, they're like, we got her. We fucking got Michelle Williams. We got her. Who else? Emma Stone. We got her.
Right.
You're Emma Stone.
I mean.
Can't stop looking at her.
It's so,
I know.
It's so bizarre.
I know. It's bizarre to me, too. Hate ya.
Well,
hate ya for it.
I don't know. I mean, it's.
By the way,
sorry.
Are you okay? Don't be sorry. Who else? Julianne Moore. Who else? Julia Armand is actually someone that really comes up for me with you.
Well, and this was especially intriguing during
the
trial. Because, like, here I am. I'm either in prison where no one can lay their eyes on me, or I'm in the courtroom where, like, basically a life and death situation is happening. So
who's the, in the Odyssey? Helen?
Helen of Troy.
Yeah.
Everyone's mad at Helen of Troy.
Who would play Helen of Troy today?
I don't know people's names. I do it, but I don't think I've got
the
Zongas.
I think Alison Brie could do it. I think, who would do it? Let's go. Come on.
Alexandra Daddario?
Imogen Poots? Yeah. Alexandra Daddario would also play Amanda Knox,
yeah,
bitch.
Definitely could.
Did you see True Detective?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. The first season.
That's you.
Show me again.
This girl is the most, like, obsessed over girl.
She's got such pretty eyes.
That's you.
Ah!
That's you, Amanda Knox. Chris, you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Can you come over here? Can you? I mean, that's her.
Alexandra.
That's like the samesies. Same. I know.
You're talking about the face that would launch 1,000 ships.
Yes.
You think that's the face? That's a high bar.
That is a very high bar.
I understand
that.
Especially
in a world when, like, there's only like 1,002 ships.
But they, you know? They don't see that many women's. All the ships.
In her case, the boobs help. In your case, the butt helps. I mean, I didn't know about your butt till I met you. That was a plot twist. That was the biggest plot twist in this case.
Just kept it carefully.
I was like, wait a second. Did everyone know about her ass? This weird, like, junk in the junk.
Yeah.
So, Lady Gaga, you're in this just kind of like, I feel like you're on the tarmac. And it's like, when do you get to?
You're also not the only person who said that to me.
It's just like, what are we doing?
So I feel like it feel less like a tarmac and more like the glass ceiling is like right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going, I'm not even hitting it with my hands. I'm hitting it with my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it's not like I feel entitled to be on the other side. It's just like I have shit to do and I want to do it.
You're just being held back. It's like you're in like, you're like fist fighting a sandstorm. I always say it's like you're just like, oof, it's like there's no way to.
And like I it's weird. I almost wonder if like I'm sort of making this happen because I've spent my entire adult life with people who have been opposing me and wanting to, you know, put me in a small place and put me in a little cage and tell me who I am. And so I'm almost used to it. And I get confused when I almost am like, I don't know what's going to happen when I actually do have the opportunity to just, like, be a person and do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm constantly expecting people to want to box me in.
I don't know anyone that thinks you're guilty. It's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, people don't, like,
they
go up
want,
to my
like,
face
people
and tell
want,
me.
Like, people, it's like the sideshow. It's like the zoo. It's like, I just feel like you're, like, a zoo animal. We were such a zoo animal for a while, and now it's like.
There's plenty of people who think that she's not guilty, but also think that her role in life now is to disappear quietly and respectfully because any reminder of her existence is re-traumatizing people.
And using your fame off of that as disrespectful to
as if she somehow chose.
You're not allowed to be happy. You're not allowed to have fun. So
I'm not allowed to exist publicly because I am reminding everyone about who doesn't get to exist.
The other day you were at my house and you guys were swing dancing.
Yes.
And you're an amazing swing dancer because of the junk in your trunk.
Yeah. A lot of people just stare right at that.
And so your face is like the least of my interest. And you're like this amazing swing dancer. And I was looking at you and I was like, God, she's just such a, it felt so triumphant to someone that doesn't know you at all, and so cool and just neato.
Like, neato.
You're so, you're so like a neato, and I just, you're just like, I was just like, no, people can't see you having fun.
No. Well, and then I, you know, not giving a fuck what I'm doing with my body has not always worked out for me well, but also I'm a little bit stubborn where I'm like, fuck you, I didn't do anything. Like, I really did not do anything. I'm sorry.
But I really didn't do anything. I don't even think you need to say that ever again. I'm trying to get you to never have to say that again. And I don't know.
I want to be at that place. Like, I hear you, and mm-hmm. I want to be at that place.
It's like when I go in an interview and someone's like, so what was it like to be on Punk'd? And I'm like, what? Huh? Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't even know what I'm talking about?
I know what Punk'd is. I've seen the one where they did Elijah Wood. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Elijah Wood, he's so, like, he just, like, cares.
The Schadenfreude show, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I love. I mean, which I made, was my first job, and I... Was on,
wait, you were
that
was
on Punk'd.
Oh, was like you were like one of the you weren't like the Punk'd
agents,
person.
One of the agents.
Okay, you were punking people. Mm-hmm. You didn't get Punk'd.
I did like no, I wasn't famous enough.
Oh,
I wasn't famous at all, which is why I got the job. You know, a lot of people that were like Amanda Knox is guilty and she did it and she's hot and sexy and had an orgy. Like, it's embarrassing to have been wrong and need to change your mind. And I think a lot we have. And I think there's a biological basis for it, but we have this thing where we are embarrassed to go, you know what, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Especially when I'm not a real person. So, like, for most people, just, like, because of the way our brains work, mm-hmm. I'm not a real person. I'm an idea of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I understand when people, like, I was having this conversation with Tig Notaro, where, like, Tig Notaro was like, oh, yeah, I totally thought you were guilty, and I feel really bad for it now. I was like... recently, I was talking to Claire Haynes and Tig Notaro because they did a whole episode. Or Cheryl Hines, sorry.
Oh, yes, on the podcast.
Cheryl Hines and Tig Notaro, and they had, like, done an episode about the my documentary, and I happened to listen to it, and they were like, wouldn't it be funny if Amanda was listening to it? And so I was like, I found Cheryl Hines on Instagram, and I was like, hey, just so you know, I did listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever want to, like, if you have any questions. Like, I was just literally, like, you know, it sounds like you
listen
have
it. What's
a...
What's it? Sorry, I try to
oh,
answer
the documentary.
The listeners think.
And the case. Like, it's a complicated case, and, like, the documentary series was only able to get into, like, the fundamentals, but there's, like, a whole world around the case that is interesting and you know, anyway, so I said, like, hey, if you have any questions, like, feel free. I'm an open book. And they were like, oh, my God, can you come on the podcast? So anyway, I came on and Tig was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I just assumed, like everyone else, that you were guilty. And
not like everyone else. Everyone, people,
yeah,
all women, all men, like, we get these generalizations, which built my house. I know. Get us really bogged down.
It's true.
No, I truly never thought you were guilty.
But there is a sense that
I looked at her and I was just like, she's pretty. You're fucked. If you look like you, you are fucked. Whether you're in Italy, whether you're in Perugia, whether you're in Pensacola, Florida, whether you're in Toledo, like, some, it's just like.
Which isn't to say that, like, pretty women aren't guilty of things. How easy is it to decide that someone is less human, even when they're right there in front of you?
Did I give you the madness of crowds?
Not yet.
The book?
We have it.
Okay, got it.
I've read it, yeah.
Got it. Nah.
I think he's right about some things and a little overblown about other things.
Because he has to fill a book.
Like a lot of IDW.
How many books have you written?
I've written one.
Mm-hmm.
He's written, how many have you written? You've published two, but yeah.
And we also wrote a book of poems together.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh,
what's
we should
called?
Have brought that.
It's called The Cardio Tesseract. It's love poems.
I'm so sorry.
The Cardio Tesseract. It's love poems we wrote back and forth.
I'll send you when we get home.
They're exquisite.
What have you fought about?
Fought about?
A real fight. Real fight. Like, don't fucking do that again.
The closest thing that we've really fought about is, so we work together and we create together. And very often we have different thresholds for when we can move on to next steps. Mm-hmm. And occasionally what will happen is Chris wants to assert a level of perfectionism that I feel is counterproductive. Mm-hmm. Or like there'll be like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit delicate and insecure, but what I'll interpret as him being like, this isn't good enough, I need to make it better, is like me thinking he's saying I'm not good enough and so he has to make it better. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me. Mm-hmm. But like we've had conversations where I've had to be like, okay, this is not about me. It's about the work and about a level of perfection.
The podcast?
Podcast, the Stargate that we made. Like there are moments.
Stargate for their wedding. We'll get to it.
Yeah. So like all these like beautiful things that we make, there's always conflict in the process of making because my process is not exactly the same.
Conflict is a weird word. It's just.
We don't fight.
We don't fight.
Well, we're just very good at conflict resolution.
This is why I love horses.
As soon as something bubbles out of control just a little bit,
yeah,
we go, okay, let's deal with this.
Something's happened, yeah.
And we resolve the tension within 15 minutes.
This is why I'm obsessed with prey animals, because they forgive very quickly, and they, boom, and we're back. They don't hold on to it.
Right, you don't hold on to it, but you also don't have to hold on to it if you say, here's how I'm feeling. Even if you don't think that I'm justified in how I'm feeling, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. We both acknowledge it's there, and then we move on.
We like, also as long never as we go to sleep angry.
Never, ever, ever.
I've heard that.
You know, fights only happen when you don't address stuff and it festers.
Yes.
And then you have some to little acknowledge thing sets it off, and then it's a big fight. We don't let anything fester.
But you're also like just like properly matched in a way that's like kind of shocking. So I wrote this down. If you had killed this person, we would have forgiven you by now.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, people seem to have forgiven the guy who actually did it.
And that's the other thing. I'm sure people talked about this. Like when I was watching the documentary, I was like, oh, he's black. That's awkward.
Yeah. It is
so
awkward.
I didn't want him to do it.
People have literally reached out to me on Twitter to say, like, I don't believe you because black men are always accused of crimes they didn't do. Ooh. And he's a black man, so there must be something wrong.
Of course. And it's like, fuck, why is she pretty? And why does she have to be pretty? Why does she have to be black? And he have to be black? Ugh, it was just like the perfect fucking storm. Shit storm.
Even the prosecution was bringing stuff up like, oh, you know, after they had safely convicted him, like he got convicted long before I did. They were like, oh, now that he's safely convicted, we can say he was just, you know, he was just there. He wasn't the mastermind like Amanda was. He's just this poor black man. We really, you know, like it's really Amanda who was the one who was like evil for the sake of evil. She was the Luciferina. She was the.
Do you have a cell phone in prison? No.
No. No.
But like what? So the second it happens, you give your cell phone, because there were like conversations in that documentary of you talking.
Yeah, so until I was arrested, like I was being interrogated, but I wasn't arrested.
Did someone hit you on the back of the head?
Yes, twice.
That's legal?
I mean,
still?
Well, they say it didn't happen. But like what happened was in the 4 days between us discovering that Meredith had been murdered and me being arrested, I was not told that I was a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
They said that I was not a suspect. In fact, it was never even like a thought in my head that I could be a suspect. I was a witness, and they told me that I was a witness.
Mm-hmm.
They kept saying, you're an important witness. Meanwhile, they tapped my phone,
mm-hmm.
and they were interrogating me.
Mm-hmm.
And
53 hours over the course of those 4 days.
What's a tapped phone?
It means that all phone conversations that I have are now recorded.
Which is always now, right?
I mean, they're legally allowed to, like, put that into the case
news.
File.
Oh, go.
Yeah, and that can then be in the news. However, the only time that they didn't record me was the final interrogation where they actually broke me. That's the one time where they were like, oh, with the budget, we just couldn't keep the recorders on.
I know multiple men who are in recovery programs now who said the only way they can come is if a woman cries.
Hmm.
And I'm in a 12-step program, admittedly. We all know that. I can't believe it took me this long to bring it up. People wanting you to cry is so fascinating to me, because if you did cry, it wouldn't have been enough. It would have been too much. She's overdoing it. She's underdoing it. She's sobbing too much. She's faking it.
Meanwhile, the emotions of anyone else involved, including the person who actually killed my roommate, never even discussed. It's always what I'm wearing, what emotions I'm expressing, because...
Also, her emotions are not even, you know, her emotions. They are a product of media selection bias.
You're also in fucking shock. When I told you, when my dog was getting surgery, I was ordering Starbucks for people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And stretching, you know, it's...
Disassociation is a way of dealing with a traumatic...
Got the call that my dad died. I was at the airport, landed. Your dad died. I went to work on Roseanne. Meeting at Roseanne. We were in pre-production. The writers weren't there yet. And then I went to see my horse. And then I was fine. I was listening to Robin in the car. Call your girlfriend. Didn't tell anyone. Got home, got an email that said we need to transport his body. Saw the word body and it just broke me.
Yeah.
And then the next time, I didn't cry. And then the funeral, never laughed harder than at the funeral.
But also imagine.
I laughed at the funeral, my father's funeral. I died laughing.
If you recorded every second of your demeanor for those few days. Mm-hmm. And then decided to cherry pick an hour of footage out of hundreds of hours of footage.
It's just you singing minutes. Robin in the car.
It can make you look like anything. We can make you look like the ideal morning griever.
In prison, were you ever like harmed or scared? Or like when you're famous in prison, that's a thing, right?
Yes. So last night we
had a little faux pas because I was talking, my therapist, like, the people in prison you got to watch are the ones that are quiet. And you were like, that's what they said about me, bitch.
Yeah, no, it's true. So the guards would say that. They were like, I trust the ones that, like, you know, I trust the ones that are yelling and screaming and getting into fights. I don't trust the ones that are quiet because I don't know what to expect of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the guards would say either, oh, Amanda, you're the ideal prisoner, or, oh, Amanda, you're the kind of prisoner who is unpredictable. In both cases, I was like, but that's because I'm not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm literally not supposed to be here. Either way, though, like my approach to getting through the prison environment and being the famous one, like being the famous one in prison means that everyone feels entitled to your fucking business. And not only your fucking business, but like the worst experience of your life. Mm-hmm. Like here's the, I'm living through the worst experience of my life. And everyone is entitled to like get their little piece of it and like have their opinion about it.
Are you showering with people?
So I'm not showering with people, but I'm definitely showering exposed to people.
Cold? Like I'm cold right now. Can I have my my bolero back?
Thank you for letting me borrow it.
Like I'm cold.
Tell her about the Vice Comandante.
I'm cold thinking about you showering in Italy in a prison. It was hard for me that you were in prison.
It was. Well, you're empathizing. I get that. Like, so yeah, it would go from like incredibly cold in the winter to incredibly hot in the summer. It was better on whichever side of the prison you actually had like airflow.
And most people were not Italian?
Most people were not Italian. Yeah, most people were African or Romanian, women.
Old, young. Pregnant?
That was across the board. There were some people who were very young. I was one of the youngest. Mm-hmm. I went in at 20.
Were you the prettiest?
I definitely still had all of my teeth, and that was unusual.
Your teeth are also a problem because they are perfect. Perfect chompers.
Never had braces.
I had braces.
She loves to brush.
I do love to brush. Yeah. I got obsessed with brushing in prison because I was used to getting, you know, a regular dental visit every 6 months. And then I went to prison.
Dork.
And it was so funny because, like, when they came by and they were like, you know, dentist, like, the once a year dentist is like, and I was like, oh, I'll sign up for the once a year dentist. And they were like, what are you talking about? You have all your teeth still. And I was like, okay. But I went. And then the dentist looked at me and was like, why are you here? Like, I'm not here to, like, you don't need any teeth pulled. And I was like, oh, I'm just for my 6 month thing. And he was like, uh-huh. And so he just like sort of like...
What was he like? Was he Italian?
He was Italian, yeah. I was Italian.
Speaking Italian or speaking...
Yeah, speaking Italian. No one spoke English.
And you could knew what they were saying?
Well, so the first year of my time in prison was people yelling at me because I didn't understand what they were saying. Yeah. And it was very scary because, like, it's a thing where I'm like, I'm just trying to wash my underwear in the bidet like you're supposed to do.
Also, with your mask, wash your mask. It's like underwear.
That's true.
My ENT just told me that. You have to wash it all the time.
So get a couple
I wasn't doing that. It was in my car. It was in my purse. I was like, I'm going to be green. And now my snot is green. I succeeded.
Anyway, there were just lots of things that I didn't know. And I couldn't even, I had to work really, really hard to like not step on anybody's toes because everyone in there is a broken, damaged person who has emotional triggers. And like, you know, it's my turn to clean the cell. So I am like scrubbing the floor and someone's yelling at me because they don't agree with the way that I'm scrubbing the floor. I did not cry very often.
You're just like.
I went numb. I went stoic.
Boxer from Animal Farm? Are you impressed?
I am impressed.
Boxer from Animal Farm?
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Boxer from Animal Farm?
I'm the kind of like just trudge. Like, okay, here I am suffering. If I just like, I think I can. I can just get up this hill. I don't know how long this hill is.
How long did you think you were going to be in there?
Depends on the time of the. My conviction, I thought that at any point someone would realize that something was wrong and I could come home. Like literally, like at any point after my conviction, I thought I was never going to get out.
2 years in until the trial resolved. So
yeah.
2 years of imprisonment.
2 years of my imprisonment, I thought it's all going to work out. Anything can happen. Any day now someone's going to realize that it's all wrong and they're going to let me out.
Groundhog Day.
And exactly. And then after my conviction, everything I thought was true about the world and about truth and what people cared about was demolished.
And you're seeing the news? You have newspapers?
So there are Italian newspapers that you could, like there's one Italian newspaper that you can get in
prison.
And
if they want to interview you, do you have to do it?
No, they did not have access to me. So yeah, I was like under lockdown. And that's one of the reasons why it was such a thing to see me in the trial because I was like, under lockdown.
And you're doing The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene by accident.
Yeah, like I'm this sort of like special hived away like Princess Jasmine in like the walled off court, and then like I get brought to the public display to get like flogged. That and everyone's like, "Oh, that's
physical,
so hot."
The you going through those crowds, those mosh pits, was just so hard for me.
Well, you're empathizing. Like I mean, get
it's
that.
Just, watching you go through those was so. You just disassociate? Physically, I mean, are you bruised? It looked physically dangerous.
It is physically dangerous. And a lot of people, I hate it when people describe my relationship to paparazzi as like a dance. It's like, I know how to fucking dance.
Yeah, yeah, no, I saw it.
And dancing is a consensual thing. And what's happening to me is an assault. Like you were literally like up on my body, and I just like it's.
Yeah. And the police aren't really helping. There aren't really barricades.
Well, there's no.
They don't
legal,
want it to be sane.
It's not legal to get in the way of the paparazzi. Legal to get in the. Like,
does the paparazzi get money from the government? Is the paparazzi?
They're just more protected by the laws than they are here, and even here they have way too much leeway, I think. But they're
paparazzi. If you kill one, it's like self-defense here.
Oh, no, no, no. You're not allowed to, like, touch. If you touch their camera, you're assaulting them.
Like, when we went back to Italy last summer, you know, it was like, imagine, like, 15 people swarming around you, like, 6 inches from your face.
Falling over each other in order to, like, get closer to you.
Hurting themselves.
Hurting themselves in order to shove their camera closer to
you. No, I've never, and cameras back then were weapons. I mean, cameras, they were, like, cumbersome.
Yeah,
you know?
You could, yeah.
I'm watching it, it's just.
Well, this was
like,
just 6 months.
That was recently,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was that?
When I went back to Italy the first time.
Okay, we'll talk about that, but also you flew into LA a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, no one assaulted me. I just walked out.
I know, but I'm just saying there's paparazzi for you a couple days ago here, which is just.
That was surprising because I was like, it's not known that I was coming here. I'm wearing a mask and I walk out of the airport and someone's like, Amanda, with their camera and their microphone.
You
and
could have been
like,
Alexandra Daddario. You
yeah,
could have been.
Who
yeah.
not? Like, why? And like the fact that they said Amanda, I was like, why?
I think that someone's selling name someone that works at the flight office.
I would
Didn't I,
not be
Haven't
surprised.
I run that theory by you, Emily?
Yeah.
Because it's only when I fly one airline I get paparazzi. And I'm like, I'm not that famous. I mean, like,
well, it goes to show, like, here's another reason why we should have universal basic income, because yeah. no one is getting paid enough to be decent to another
Right,
community.
Yeah, right.
Like, we all have to sell each other out.
We all have to do things out of desperation. Mm-hmm. It's like the it's like poaching in Africa. It's like you're going to tell people they can't kill a giraffe, they can't feed their kid.
Right. They're like, giraffe or my kid.
It's my thing about guns in America. People I get in fights with all the time. I have family in Virginia. It's like, you're going to tell me I can't protect my children? And the nearest
Yeah, and anyone who doesn't acknowledge that is making their argument, like making their even their whole purpose. Mm-hmm.
It's
not
elitist, yeah.
It's elitist, but it's also like genuinely you're shooting yourself in your own foot. Like anyone who's in the criminal justice community who doesn't like acknowledge that there are victims who would feel so much safer if anyone who committed a crime never left prison again.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I understand that impulse because I've had something horrible happen to me. And the fact that the person who nearly could have killed me and mm-hmm. who killed my roommate is just like walking around now
mm-hmm.
is like, I would not want to live in that town where he lives.
Is he free?
So he gets off on day release now. And like, he's very, very close to serving out his sentence because he got a reduced sentence for not being the mastermind.
He was convicted of rape and conspiracy to commit murder.
Yes, but not of actually murdering Meredith.
Even though his DNA is like in and on Meredith's body.
His handprints and footprints are in her blood.
You know,
like it's obscene.
It's really wild just when you realize that the people that are in charge had moms that didn't love them and dads that didn't love them and, you know, are in debt and are scared and have egos and mm-hmm. you're just like, it's just such it's a mind fuck. Like,
well, and the traumas that we experience become some of the most real things to us because they're the things that we keep obsessing over. I keep obsessing over like, why did this happen to me?
I also just feel like people use you now.
That does happen. And sometimes I allow myself to be used mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I understand that there is a higher goal or whatever. Like, so, and I love the Innocence community because they are so, so careful not to do that. Like mm-hmm. when the Innocence Project and the whole network is very, very firmly takes the stance of like exonerees have been through enough. They don't have to then be paraded around so that we can make a better case in court. Those who do feel comfortable coming out and telling their story, like, thank you. But like, you shouldn't feel like you have to do that. But a lot of exonerees, like, and I feel this as well, is it's like, if the only thing that anyone has ever cared about is whether or not I'm guilty or innocent of a crime, like, somehow also my own self-worth becomes wrapped around, like, your obsession with that question, because that's the feedback loop I'm getting, mm-hmm. is it's like, when here I am trying to, like, make all these crafts and make a podcast, and no one gives a shit, mm-hmm. but they do give a shit if we get to sit around and talk about whether or not I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Like, that is a feedback loop that I'm telling. Like, oh, the only thing that you care about me is the question of whether or not I have anything to do with this crime.
It's so tricky because it's like, as a woman, it's like, any woman, sorry. It's like when you're like, I know that my looks work for me. I know you want to, like, I can play this card because of fucking human nature, and I don't want to play this card, but it works. And what am I going to not? I mean, it's just such a rat king.
Well, and I realize that as well, where I feel like, for me, being a, you know, a white woman, I'm much more easy on the eyes than a lot of other exonerees who have spent decades in prison, who are older now, and who haven't spent time, you know, being forced to be a public speaker. So they're not quite.
You're a star.
Well, yeah, I mean, comparatively. So I also feel like this sense of, I need to be the bridge between this like huge gap of understanding between people who have to go through prison. Like, the number of times that I encounter, especially women, because women are really, really care about the criminal justice system, even though it's not built by us or for
mm-hmm,
us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so wrapped up with like how any one of us could become a victim at any time. That's why we have our imaginary men. When like the workers come around, we have imaginary men mm-hmm. that we inform them of, like, here's my boyfriend. We're obsessed with how we can be hurt. And
yes, at all times, which is when you know, it's been interesting with the pandemic when men are like, oh, you go to the grocery store and you're, I don't know. And I'm like, we're like that all the time, dude. The pandemic, like, I'm just like, I'm scared of everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Scared of their judgment, scared about what they're going
to
do.
You mean walking to your car at night? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? Everyone's like, someone at the grocery store, like, didn't have a mask on and they got too close to me. I'm like, that's us. We're always in that hypervigilance. Mm-hmm. We're prey animals. We're prey, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, that is not, and that's my obsession with, the fear of robots too. When men are terrified of robots, it's like, oh, because this is the first thing that you don't, that could kill you, right? The first thing that's stronger than you that might one day
actually kill that
you. We're used to that. We're not, women aren't scared of robots.
You know what? That makes so much sense for why men are obsessed with the Terminator and women are obsessed with true crime. It's the exact same
period.
Thing.
Period. And pathogen avoidance.
Obviously.
Dad just blew Amanda's mind.
It's like, I don't need the Terminator. I have you watching this show with me. You're the Terminator. Like, oh my God. Like,
this is what I say about scientists that like study fear. I'm like, just ask a woman. 9 scientists are in a lab studying what makes people scared. And I'm like, just ask us. I'm in a very intense person. I'm super intense. And I haven't always been like this because I was, you know, before I was in recovery for codependence, I was a shapeshifter and I just was like, whatever yeah. you need me to be, I'm going to be that. You need me to be funny. You need me to walk on eggshells. Yeah. You need me to be less funny so that you can be the star. Like, I just need to know what you need. You need right. me to get you a drink. You need me to, you know, get drunk with you. Like, what is
right,
it?
Right,
so everything, I had to figure out how to placate you so that...
Which is so normal for women to do.
Exhausting.
But it's just like the way
that we wrote a book about it. Yeah, we're wired for harmony. Yeah. We're wired to figure out our place, which yep. is why women make...
To make other people feel better, to stop yelling. Like
women are fucking great bosses and why they don't hire them because you are getting... points, it just shit will run better because there's 10 kids and we need to know who's hungry and who has to pee and who has to shit and who just fell and who's hurt and
right
you know I still need to find out what the study was that women evolved to cry because men couldn't read faces well enough.
Interesting. So it's like I literally need mm-hmm. to be like leaking mm-hmm. if it could be blood it would be blood, but I can't leak blood out of my face, so I'm just gonna like alert
salt
you
water. There's something called pathogen avoidance, which is part of the reason that when I had this robot and I would expose people to the robot, men would be like, men were like, it creeps me out. Like they would get like.
But does it creep them out because they also kind of want to touch it?
That's why my special is called Can I Touch It?
Because
guys would say, can I touch it? And then I'm like, aren't you the same guy that put your hand on my lower back at a nightclub? What, you never asked me. You're like, why?
That is actually really funny. That's like, it. I have to ask permission to touch your fake body, but not your real body.
Plastic. And when you're pregnant, people are just like, bleh.
Yep, yep.
You know, it's just like, it's wild how women's bodies are public property unless it's a machine, because guys, cars. Cars are a she. Cars. Cars. You can't.
Do you relate to this at all, Chris?
Don't. Yeah. You're no. You're an outlier.
You're evolved.
Do I think of women as property? Is it? I mean, obviously, that's been one of the major animating principles of human society since humans created society. Mm-hmm. I think that it's hard to explain human history without thinking about this ever-present notion of women as property.
Yeah.
Explains a lot of culture.
Also,
explains
why so our species culture. Proliferated.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, like we gotta.
And that goes back to biology. It goes back to just the epistemic gap that men.
I'm sorry. Stopped. What's epistemic?
Of or relating to knowledge, like epistemology, the study of knowledge, right?
Yeah. What's a synonym?
Just knowledge. So knowing something. So there's a gap in knowing, and you're talking about progeny.
Like, so there's
problem.
Like ontology, and then there's epistemology.
And there's Scientology.
Like the study of reality, and there's a study of what we know about reality, right? So like when it comes to sperm and egg and when it comes to procreation, the man does – no child comes out of the man. So right. he just has to hope that it's his seed that was implanted in that woman and that she was faithful and so forth.
So I have to control her.
I got in a big fight. I got in a little bit of a thing with Andrew Huberman about because I had read somewhere that men's penises were evolved to be
scoop out the sperm
of the competitor.
Cat dicks are like that. Cat dicks have apparently have like spikes on them. And like, ducks, if you've ever seen ducks.
Fuck.
Oh my God, ducks. Yeah. Okay, so ducks, like that, ducks, the way that like female ducks deal with the fact that they are just raped. Oh my God. First of all, they have vaginas.
Ducks get raped?
Ducks get so
it's
raped.
Only rape. It's like
it's
basically
only like it's like I'm a duck, man.
Ducks
and
get raped?
No, no. Ducks like literally, girl duck is like tooting along in the water. A guy duck jumps on top of her, puts his beak on her head, and drowns her
while he sticks his...
No, no. She's basically like ah, and he's like sticking his corkscrew dick into her vagina, which has many avenues to like trick the corkscrew dick into not getting into her actual vagina. Like, it's really disturbing. And I only found this out because I went to a hotel where, like, the cute thing about the hotel is they had some ducks that were in the fountain in the middle. And then I saw a duck getting raped. And I was like,
God, this is just really the most upsetting thing.
But like, what that like?
You cannot catch a fucking break, dude.
But also, like, it's just like such a reminder that like almost all sex ever, like in the history of ever, has been rape.
Do you know about toxoplasma?
No.
Toxoplasmosis?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's when it removes rodents' innate fear of cats.
Oh, I've heard that that affects humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. A lot of people.
And it makes you want to have more cats.
Risk.
Yeah.
Risk.
Hmm.
Well,
risk.
Yeah. The extreme sports people, the cliff divers.
Yes. Rock free climbers, motorcycle. This evolutionary adaptation to help the parasite complete its life cycle. Toxoplasma can sexually reproduce only in the cat gut. And for it to get there, the pathogen rodent host must be eaten. So it makes rodents want to get eaten by cats.
Yeah, they just aren't afraid of them anymore. Yes. So they just kind of sit there and like
stare. And they know, they run up to them and they try to get eaten by them.
Yeah.
It's wild. Don't get me started on hookworms.
Yeah, the ways that our minds can be manipulated either by chemicals or just plain what information.
By the way,
you put,
neurochemicals. So neurochemicals. You are an adrenaline junkie's dream.
Me.
Yep. And it were in that time.
I'm toxoplasmosis.
Woo! This has been a wild episode. So I decided, why don't you let this digest, let this all marinate, process it all, and we're going to have the second half of the episode, 2 more hours of wildness with Amanda freaking Knox. Next week, it's even crazier. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. I just didn't want to put out a 4-hour episode like a psychopath. I love you.